Last week we talked about being a family, and I believe every one of you have a calling in your life. Matter of fact, I just had a conversation with someone this morning that says, you know what, how did you know, Pastor, that you were called to be a pastor? It seems like the question is coming up, how do I know? We're going to begin to explore that as well. Amen? So for the next several weeks, you're not going to hear from me preaching, so I'm going to take a little sabbatical and from preaching the word. I'll still be here, and I'm still going to make a fool of myself if I can. I like doing that, right? As much as I can. Maybe Megan might let me play guitar every now and then. I don't know. I'll beg. But we're going to be able to hear from others in the church. I believe that many of you, God's given you something to say that will encourage, build up the body of Christ. So we're going to kick that off today. Jonathan's going to come and share. I said, why don't we find someone new? Just throw Jonathan out there. Let him come. He's going to come. Come here, Jonathan. He's going to come. And he is going to share the word today, and we're just going to pray for him again that what you hear today is not my son, Jonathan, but you're hearing from the Holy Spirit. As he speaks through this young man, and I want it to be an encouragement to all of you who say, well, I'm just too young to do anything for Jesus. Paul had a long letter that he wrote to Timothy about being young. And I believe it's the young people in our world that's going to make the biggest change and the biggest difference. Because sometimes us older folks, right? See this? John, see John? See that? Yep, I got some too. Sometimes we kind of get stuck in our ways. I'm just saying, maybe not you, but it's this younger generation that's going to be our leaders, going to bring forth the word. And I believe they're going to be the leaders when this revival hits our nation. So, Father, I pray now. As Jonathan stands here today, he brings forth the word. Use him. Let him speak with courage and passion. Holy Spirit, speak through him today a word that would encourage us, the body of Christ, on how we should live and make a change in our world and continue building the kingdom of heaven upon this earth. Anoint him today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, welcome, Jonathan.
Good morning, church. It's an honor to be up here today. So ever since I came home from school, from college, I asked my dad, Dad, when do I get my debut? You know, I take all these classes when I'm at Valley Forge, you know, biblical classes, and I'm learning a lot, and I try to call my dad and try to, like, you know, pick a bone, try to, like, get into a debate about, you know, biblical issues and stuff in the Bible, and I'm like, Dad, when is my debut? And so he gave it to me. So he came up to me and asked me, Jonathan, can you, you know, talk today? Or he told me this a couple weeks ago, but he's like, can you talk the 31st? I said, all right. So as I begin to, you know, pray and read the Bible and figure out, you know, what I wanted to talk about, you know, this topic has been on my mind for years. Since when I actually just when I first went to Worcester State, this topic, you know, just continued. So when I prayed, it just kept coming, stirring my heart. So today I want to talk about God, our deliverer. So I'm going to ask you a question today. Who here knows that God, our Almighty God, can deliver us from any situation? Raise your hand and tell me that, right? Amen. But I'm going to challenge you today. It's great that you raised your hand, but then why, as Christians, are we afraid in certain situations? Why do we tend to, you know, fear certain situations in our life? When we're pressed, when the enemy comes against us, sometimes we're too scared and we back down a little bit and we are afraid. You know, and as a church, as a body, we've begun to, you know, lose our strength. See, what if you watch the news, watch what they're saying about us Christians, what they're saying about the church, all these, you know, negative things, and what are we doing about it, right? The church has begun to be too politically correct. You know, we haven't took a stand, you know, against, you know, the world. We've begun actually to merge. If you watch the news and watch different kind of churches, we've begun to merge with the world, and no, we're supposed to be that stand. So today, I'm going to give us three reasons why I think, you know, the church has begun to, us as a church has become weak. So the first one is God has our back, right? We forget sometimes that God is on our side, right? When I think of this, I think of, you know, for the New England Patriots, right? You know, I have confidence that Tom Brady is going to do a good job, right? When he plays, I know he's going to do a good job, right? I have no fear that when the Patriots play against any other NFL team, that we are going to do a good job because of Tom Brady and Gronk, right? Right? Right. So, God's the same way, right? I'm not comparing Tom Brady to God, but God has our backs. Sometimes we get so caught up... Can I get some water, Mom? Thanks. We get so caught up in ourselves that we forget that God has our back. So I want to tell a story, if we open our Bibles to Daniel 3, about a story of these three men, right, that were pressed against, you know, the enemy. They were staring at death, and they had to make a situation. And they had to make a situation where, you know, it was a hard one to make. But in the end, God had their back. So we open our Bibles to Daniel 3. The story is about these three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I'm going to give some backstory. These guys are friends of Daniel. These guys are friends of Daniel. And during this time, Babylon took over Jerusalem. So here's God's people in Jerusalem. This king, Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody say Nebuchadnezzar. A Babylonian king came into Jerusalem and took over. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar was full of himself and decided, you know what, I'm going to build a massive golden statue. And when music began to play, everyone had to stop what they were doing and bow down to this massive golden statue. And if you didn't, there was no warning, you didn't get a ticket, you know, if you got pulled over or something, you got tossed right into a fire, a furnace, you just, whoop, into a fire. You know, that's kind of harsh, right? No warning or anything, so... Obviously, this became an issue for these three Christians, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so when, you know, the music started playing, people started bowing down, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided not to. And the king caught word that these dudes weren't listening to him. So let's read verse 13, Daniel 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought them, these men, to the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall be immediately cast into the burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Right, church? Who is the God that is going to deliver these three men out of this king's hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, listen, church, and said to the king, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." They're not even entertaining the fact that he's going to, you know, throw them. They're not even worried, right? "We have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you." So if God does not, they're saying, if God does not, you know, deliver us, "be it known to you that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Look at the faith. Look at the faith that these three men have, that they know that God will deliver them. And even if, you know, if God decided, you know what, that's your fate, they still, the kind of faith that these men had, not to bow down to this image. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of his mighty men of his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Yet, because the king's order was so urgent, the furnace was overheated, and the flames killed the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The flames were so hot that these men who threw them in caught flame and died. That's how hot this furnace is. So these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bound in the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and declared to his counselors, listen, church, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said the thing, true, O king. They're like, yeah, we did. We threw three dudes in the fire. And then he answered and said, But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And there appears to be a fourth that is like the son of the gods. Church, look what happened. These three men who stood up for their faith, knew that God would deliver them, got thrown into a furnace that was seven times hotter than it usually was and killed the people around them, right? And yet they're walking unbound in the furnace. But yet there weren't three of them, there was a fourth one. Jesus Christ was in that furnace with them, right? Then why do we fear, right? Why don't we have the faith like them, knowing that Jesus Christ is with us no matter what? We should take that and take charge, right? Church, there is no need for us, right? There is no need for us to not know that God is with us. Look at this. You know, just look at this story. These three men thrown into a furnace, and God was there to deliver them. This moves into my second point of why I think the church is losing her strength, is the fear of failing. I want you guys to be honest with me here. How many of us are afraid to fail? Right? For the next one, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have already failed in life? We have done something and we just, bloop, it failed. You know, we decided to make a decision and it didn't end up working well with us, so we made some bad life choices and we just failed. Today, I'm going to be honest with you. Thank you for being honest with me. I'm faced with an issue right now. A decision in my life that it's hard to make. I'm scared to know where I'm going in my life. As a 20-year-old, you know, young man, there's a lot of pressure on, you know, us college students, high school students, on to figure out what we want to do with our lives. And I'm at that point where I'm like, do I really want to continue doing this, or do I want to focus on something else? And that decision, I'm scared that if I make the wrong decision, I'm going to fail. But I came to the realization, you know what, church, we're going to fail. You know, we humans, I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. We're like failures, right? Here we are, right? God made this perfect world for us. You know, Adam and Eve, you know, they had it all, right? They had all the fruits, you know, all the food they could eat, you know, walk around naked, the perfect life, yet they failed, right? So it's in our nature to fail. But I want to give you some sort of encouragement. There's a story in Matthew. Everyone knows this story of Peter walking on water, right? And it's an incredible story, a great miracle. But I want to point out something maybe we don't always focus on when it comes to this story. So let's turn it to Matthew in verse 29. He said, come. So Jesus is saying, come to Peter. Come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. We're going to stop there. Incredible. Right? I want you to go home. If you have a pool, great. If you don't have a pool, fill your bathtub up with water and walk on the water and tell me how that goes. You're not going to do it, right? This is a miracle. Not only is Peter walking on the water, but he is looking at Jesus. Imagine that. We're kayaking. There's Jesus, a man, you know, Jesus on the water. He says, come to me. We get out of our kayak and we're walking on the water looking at Jesus. A miracle. But yet, we're human, right? Peter, but then we continue to read. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, right? He got distracted by the wind. Though, you know, this incredible miracle, here comes Peter out the water. All the disciples like, look at Peter on the water, walking toward Jesus. Imagine us on water, walking, looking at Jesus. And we get distracted by life, decisions, you know, bad choices. All right, we begin to sink. Right? He failed. Peter failed. Well, this is what I want to point out to you. This is what makes this story beautiful. Peter cried out, Lord, save me. He cried out, Lord, save me. And look what Jesus did. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Peter's sinking, he's falling. Even though he just had this miracle, he fell and sank. And Peter cried out and said, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached down and picked him up and pulled him out and saved his life from drowning. Right? There was no hesitation in Jesus. So church, I want to tell you, God has our back. When we are facing any situation, we should take stand and fight. Right? We need to be a church and pick up our sword and shield and fight back. But when we do fail, we will fail. And when we fail, Jesus, all we have to do is drop ourselves, humble ourselves, and say, Jesus, help me. He will reach down his hand and pull you up. Right? Give him praise. Amen. So this is going to actually pull right into the last part. You know, this is a word that my dad has used a lot. It's something in your life. You can be a drug addict. You can be an alcoholic. But this one thing in your life can destroy you if you don't understand and ask Jesus to help you. It's pride, church. It's pride. If it's okay, now I'm going to start to preach. Okay, church? If it's okay with you. Listen, church. If you think you are strong enough to combat the enemy, if you think that you have all the strength, you might go to the gym and put up a bunch of weight. You are not strong enough, right? You might think, you know what? I got it all figured out. I thought I had it all figured out. And all of a sudden, I woke up and like, wait a minute. No, I don't. Right? Do not let pride enter your life and tell you have it all figured out. It will destroy you. There's a proverb that says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is like one of like the boom. It's big. Because if you let the enemy speak pride into your life, right? The enemy is going to lie to you and say, yeah, you can do it by yourself. You don't need any help. You don't need Jesus. You don't need, you know, the elders in the church. You don't need you don't need your parents. You don't need any of this, right? But what's the one purpose of the enemy? Dad says all the time, to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy has one goal, and it's to destroy you. And if you're prideful, he's going to use it against you. So I'm a visual kind of person. I like to visualize things. So I'm going to ask my brother James to come up. Your clapper, James. Look, right here, look. James is going to represent you guys, us, as the church, right? James, tall man, you know, for his age, tall young man. He popular in school, taller than everybody in his grade. He plays basketball to his little cousin, always getting rebounds, always putting up the ball. He is the man, right? James is the man. So he thinks so, right? Sometimes, church, we think, yeah, I'm great at my job. I don't need help. You know, I might have, you know, a lot of money. That means nothing. But, you know, I have a high position in my job. I don't need help from anybody, right? This is going to be James, right? Here's James, a tall man. Yes, sin, the enemy enters his life. Look how much bigger the enemy is. James will try to say, you know what, I can maybe fight him on my own, but no, I can hold James and he cannot fight back, right? The enemy is so much, it can get overwhelming where he cannot move and I have him grabbed, right? There's no way James can leave. I can take him down to the ground. I have complete control over James because James needs help. Church, we need help. There's no way we can do it on our own. And yet, all James has to do is cry out. When sin holds him, all he has to cry out is for Jesus.
Jesus.
Right. And when he humbles himself and cries out for Jesus, Jesus is not a weak man, God. You know, he's not weak. He is a strong, mighty man. Right? Jesus is so much bigger than the enemy. So look. How can the enemy get to James when Jesus is so much bigger? Right? All right, thank you. Does that make sense? All right, good. Right. to get a little like more serious, you know, there can be times in our life where it's just struggling. Who knows? You know, God knows what it is. You know, there's something in our life that we're just struggling with. Decision, you know, submitting to authority. It doesn't matter what it is. God knows what it is. All you have to do is submit yourself to God. Right? So let's recap on those 3 points, right? The church as a whole, so when I say church, I mean all of us, we are beginning to be weak, right? We are beginning to, you know, let the world walk over us. We're sometimes scared to say, you know, Jesus Christ is my friend. You know, I accept him in our heart because we're scared of judgment against us. You know, being a college student, going to Worcester State, a secular school, a state school, I had the biggest fear in my life was telling people, you know, I was a Christian, or saying, you know, they say, hey, Jonathan, you know, I was pretty popular in college. You're like, Jonathan, come, you know, hang out and come to a party. And I had to tell them, you know, no, I'm not for that. And it was so hard for me to say it because I knew I was going to lose those friends. Well, I thought they were friends, you know. I was scared that they're going to judge me, right? But now I know, you know, as I was reading, I know that God has my back. You don't know whatever situation you have. Stand up for yourself because you don't know how God can use you, right? Here I am at Worcester State. The first semester was pretty rough for me. A lot of my friends were doing their, you know, own thing with, you know, parties, alcohol, the men, how they, the guys would talk about women. It was just, and I was not about it. And I did. I had, it was very hard for me, but Pastor Jason, the family life pastor at First Assembly, he texted me this verse. It was Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Right? So here I am, my first semester of college, afraid to tell these people. And I stayed in my dorm room. I texted my girlfriend Lindsay, can I come over? Is your mom making, you know, rice and beans? Can I come over? You know, I was scared to leave my dorm room because I had to make that decision. So I just go over to her house and eat rice and beans. Rice and beans. It wasn't a really big, you know, it was, I liked it. But I wasn't making that stand. And then when Pastor Jason sent that to me, I said, why do I have to be afraid? Why do I know God has my back. And say I do say, you know what, I don't do this. And say they make fun of me and I fail. I know I can cry out to Jesus and he's going to help me. All I have to do is humble myself and he's going to help me. So there's the second semester of college. And there I am. And my friend said, Jonathan, come to this party. So instead of running away or like I got homework, I said, you know what, I am not for this. I stand against it. This, I don't do this. And they said, how come? And I told them, you know, it's against what I believe. I don't think, you know, talking about women this way is okay. I don't think drinking alcohol is and getting drunk brings pleasure to me. Jesus brings pleasure. And throughout the entire semester, they come up to me and ask me, Jonathan, why? You know, ask me all these questions, biblical questions. And finally, somebody said, let's have a Bible study. So me and three other people sat down in the study room and had a Bible study. And this is where I started to develop this, you know, idea in this sermon. This sermon's been in the making for like almost 2 years. All right. This is where I started developing and sharing ideas and seeing how they react to it. And all of a sudden, I think this is why, you know, this can be the fruit of our labor if we stand up. A young man came into that room. Never met him before in my entire life. No idea. He said, I heard you had a Bible study. I want to know what it's about. So we sat there. You know, I told him about it. I shared some scriptures with him. I never saw him again. But who knows, that small seed that I planted right there could grow into something we don't know, right? So when you're faced with a situation, you're like, you know, this coworker is, you know, saying all these naughty things, you know, being fresh, and they're asking me, you know, to hang out with him and do some things I don't feel comfortable. And sometimes you take your stand and say, you know what, I don't agree with this. Or maybe you're already there at that place where you're already sunken into that temptation and you're scared to come out of it. You know what? Just stand up. Because look, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up for their faith. Nobody here is looking at a fiery furnace about to be tossed in. Right? They were looking at death right there. Not just like, you know, boom, you're dead. But like they're about to be burned alive right there because of what they believed. And yet, who saved them, church? Who saved them? Jesus saved them. Here's Peter on the water, a miraculous miracle, got distracted by life. We all get distracted and sank to the ground. Right? He sank, and all he did was he humbled himself. He let pride leave him, and he cried out for Jesus, and Jesus saved him. So I'm gonna close with this scriptures in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness. I am content with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Church, I'm going to ask the pastoral care team to come up, right? Joseph, you can come play the piano. I'm going to ask the pastoral care team to come up. You know, I don't know where all of you are when it comes to Jesus Christ, but I want all of us to stand up. I want all of us to repeat this after me and ask Jesus Christ, the person there to save us when we can't save ourselves and we're faced with distractions and sins in our life. I want all of us to repeat after me and bow our heads and close our eyes and say, "Jesus, I love you. I know that I'm a sinner. I need your help. I'm asking you to come into my life and be my best friend, to be there for me when I can't be there for me." In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, you know, welcome to the family, right? We are the church. You know, one of us are weak, but all together, you know, we are strong, and we all take that stand. You know, we can be a strong church and fight back this world. If you maybe have, you know, something stirring in your heart, maybe you're there, you know, you fell into that temptation and you need help coming out, these people up here are here to pray for you. Maybe you just pray that prayer and want to know what it means. Come up. These people up here will help you through that. All right, church? But here, I'm done. Thank you.
Amen. Yep, I could lose my job real quick. Amen. It was a great word, wasn't it? It was given with humility as well. And it's good to see how God can use you wherever you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter the current situation that you're in. God can use us in great ways. Just like Jonathan shared, one of those things that we just have to push away is that pride in our life. As he gave the invitation, I just want to continue that. If there's something in your life, if you need to take a moment, if you're faced with a situation, if you are, maybe you're walking on the water, maybe you're going through a great time in life, maybe you feel like everything is great, I'm walking on the water, the miracle of my life, and you begin to sink, and you feel yourself sinking, you feel yourself beginning to go under the water. All you have to do, as Jonathan said, and the word says, is to cry out. And it says that God would immediately reach out and grab him. Maybe you need help. Maybe you're struggling with a sickness in your body. Maybe there's a decision you need to make. Whatever it is, when we founded Life Church, God told me, do not leave service without someone having an opportunity to pray with the leaders of the church. Do not leave here today if you need prayer. I want to encourage you to do that today. Amen. Let this be our benediction. Father, we love you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, God, for your word presented by the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for using this young man who was willing to take that stand, be used by God in the face of adversity, in the face of shame. Let that be a lesson to us today. We surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our life to you. We give it to you, Jesus. We know that if we cry out, immediately you're going to reach down and you're going to pull us back up. Don't let us live with pride, but let humility reign over the pride in our life, and we surrender it and give it to you in the name of Jesus. Let's say it together. Amen.